pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Member attendance.
Okay.
You have the recorder on?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Mr. Di Lorenzo is present, Ms. Peggy Emanuel is present, and Mr. Ray Willis is present, the solicitor is present. And that's it.
All right. Did you have a chance to review the meeting minutes from October 26th? Ray, did you go over the minutes from October?
Yeah. I have nothing.
I had nothing on it, though.
I don't have anything either.
Sorry, everybody, I had a cold for a week and a half.
Yeah. Let's go over it.
Now I got a sinus infection.
Okay.
I make a motion that we accept the minutes of the October 26th hybrid meeting as stated.
Peggy made the motion. You want to second it, Ray?
Yep, I'll second that.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Recording in progress.
All right, we're kind of back. Done.
Sorry.
All right, well, good evening, everyone. It's good to see you again, and happy holidays as we begin that. With me tonight are a number of representatives from Econopac. I know through the course of the time that we've reviewed this project, there's been questions with regards to a number of things, and so they were happy to provide people that's involved in all aspects of the operation of Econopac, whether it's, you know, the full operation of the business as well as, you know, shipping and receiving and a number of things that we have talked about as concerns of the commission over the last several months. And so they're, I mean, I can introduce each one or have them introduce themselves if you'd like, or, you know.
Yeah, they're here. Let's put it on the record.
Yeah. I mean,
is that
actually.
Right,
Bud? Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
PJ Weibel, CEO.
Paul Weibel, chairman.
Bob Weibel, director of operations.
Ernie Pedersen, builder.
Rich Clay, I'm the manager of shipping and receiving.
Johnny Montana, project controller.
I'm Michelle Weibel, I'm secretary treasurer.
Ed Horn, chief operating officer.
Adam Lansbury, maintenance manager.
My God.
Yeah, that's the whole room.
Everybody.
Whatever relative I know.
I left a few.
So I had asked them to bring representation, and they brought everyone.
Listen to their engineer.
So certainly I think everyone here is able to answer any questions that I have not been able to do on their behalf, you know, being their representative for this project. But where we're at is, you know, we've submitted a number of revisions. The last go-around had to do with, you know, a meeting 2 months ago where we had Mr. Shepstone and a number of his comments, which led to us doing a couple of additional action items. And so I wanted to speak to what those items were, and then and talk about the results of what we had. The first thing was a traffic assessment or an traffic analysis. And so as you're aware, we had employed a professional engineer with an expertise in traffic and to do a traffic count, a study of the current flow of traffic at the property and the impact once the development is done. And so we had submitted that previously. I don't know if any members of the board have had a chance to kind of review it, but I can, you know, certainly speak to it. You know, Mr. Mafia had actually, you know, been to the site a couple of times, took traffic counts of traffic into and out of the property. Most significantly, we asked him to address that window in the mid-afternoon when they exchange shifts between their morning shift and their late afternoon shift, which also coincides with a lot of the heavier traffic in the Route 6 to the main corridor. When things such as the school district lets out and other higher traffic counts that occur during that time. And, you know, I can read through most of it, but I think what, you know, what's indicated is, one of the things I wanted to emphasize about what the report showed is that the numbers which we have kind of represented in the past is that we're dealing with, you know, dozens of truck traffic, not, you know, hundreds of trucks, which I think was always a question, is really the exact count. If you actually look at the report about the number of trucks and shuttles that go through in that time window, he counted the peak at 53 entering the site and 65 leaving the site. That was in the middle of the analysis, if you had a chance to review that. And then he went on to do an estimate based on, you know, the design of the site. And some of the things which we have represented and he took into consideration is that, you know, one of the things is once this development is done, that the traffic, some of the extra traffic that the site generates now because they have to take prepared product, store it off-site locally, then bring it back to ultimately ship out, that will be removed from their current flow because of the expansion that we're proposing. So he took that into account. And so as he indicated on page 4 of the report, that once we've reached full build out and the site begins operation, that the additional new trips will be on the order of magnitude of 6 or 12 or less during a peak hour. So, you know, I don't know if anyone's had a chance to actually review that, you know, and if they have any questions. And certainly he took into account all PennDOT's requirements. This site is currently considered a low volume site, and we're going to be nowhere near a medium or even a high volume traffic count. So once we don't expect PennDOT to require anything further than what we've already presented here, which you know, clearly demonstrates that the order of magnitude of change on this site, you know, is what we've represented all along. So, any questions about that?
I do have a question about something in there where he's talking about 450 employees for each shift.
Yes, that's an estimate.
Yeah, because I was going to say your last shift isn't a full shift, right?
Correct, third shift.
So what's represented in the report, which is the information we've given, and this is based on their current averages. The first and second shift are 350 each, yeah, approximately. Yeah. And then the overnight shift is 100. And so with the expansion and full development, he's using a head count of 450 for those first and second shifts. Although they expect the overnight to be still consistent with that 100 count.
Okay. But that's still going to be reviewed by PennDOT based on the study, yeah. And they make the final call.
Yeah.
Well, what you're saying, based on the standards, even the 100 per hour, you're not at that either.
No, I mean, we're well below even what a medium driveway is considered for PennDOT. It's a low volume driveway, and so we don't expect them to require any further studies. But they will have this, and they'll be able to review it. And the criteria by which he did traffic count, you know, met PennDOT standards. So.
That's what he says in the report. That's, but obviously it's going to be proven when they review it.
Yeah, we should. Any further questions about that?
My question about the parking is that we're all going on the assumption that you're going to continue to use the shuttle vans. Mm-hmm. But does the parking lot have enough single individual parking spaces if that is not the case?
Yes. Well, our traffic, our parking count, it's not here, but, as we've indicated, I can roll the plan out, but as we've indicated that there's adequate parking for what they have currently, we're actually expanding that, with the additional parking to the rear of the site. And as we've indicated, we've dedicated an area for the parking of all the vans and stuff to the rear of the property, which has been a sensitive issue. But currently, this whole area which we're proposing as additional parking doesn't exist now in the current format.
Right, but my question is that the total number of parking spaces that would be required if you weren't depending on the settlement?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay.
Let me ask, since you brought everybody in to try to help the cause here, is there a reason it would no longer use the shuttle?
At this point, there's no. I have no reason we wouldn't.
And I guess you could if you wanted to. Would you have to make it a condition that you would continue to use the shuttle system to keep the traffic lower?
I'm not sure. I mean, we don't designate how people get to work. They carpool.
I thought you provided it. Oh, you don't
we
provide
do not,
it?
No.
Oh, you don't
I
provide
do not own the vans or pay for the van.
Oh, okay. I thought you did. That's right.
No, I do not.
Okay. I can't ask
you. You must have a working arrangement with whoever does the transportation.
We do.
Yeah, but I don't know. So that may at one time or another not exist. But that's my point. My point is if you don't. If you don't have that, where that many people are coming on a daily basis in the van, then you have to have adequate parking for everybody coming on a single vehicle. And that's what I'm just making sure that we have enough room that's been accounted for.
Yeah, I think based on the size of the new parking lot, I think we did.
What's your total parking area, Spacer?
I have a parking plan in the set.
I don't think it's necessary to go over the whole.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just wondered if you knew the number.
But no, I don't know off the top of my head. I don't. But I'm happy to do that. But yes, I think that based on the additional single car parking that we're going to provide, it doesn't currently exist on the site. Plus, obviously, the other areas which we've delineated, certainly for the van parking to get that out of the front of the building, and the other areas that we've delineated as paved areas or parking areas, there's more than adequate parking, certainly in their current construction of how they operate, but I think long term as well. Even if those numbers shift and there's less people bussed in and more people willing to drive, that there's adequate parking at the site. One of the reasons we also have stipulated in the past that we were looking at the full 65% lot coverage was to provide the additional graveled areas, which gives them flexibility, both for the vans, the cars, as well as.
Under zoning, are you meeting the parking requirement?
Yes.
Right? You're not asking for a variance?
No, I'm not asking for a variance.
Right.
No.
Or a waiver or anything, right? Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Well, can that be made as a condition? That if the van pulling should stop, that they'd have to come back in just to show that they have enough parking for what's being used at the present time at that point.
No, it's a different stuff. But I asked, and you said you're based on the square footage for parking for that type of entity, you meet the requirement.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, even if there was no van pulling?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yeah.
That's fine.
So I asked. And you said,
I mean, what I can do, and certainly on the parking plan which we developed, is delineate any type of scenario that we, currently we're what we proposed relative to the amount of. The thing to remember about the parking, which I've addressed in the past, is your ordinance doesn't have a specific requirement about the number of parking spaces for warehousing. So I'm using an industry standard as to what is normally required for these types of facilities to demonstrate that the parking is adequate. And I believe that, you know, based on our current paved areas that aren't necessarily delineated as single car parking, that we have more than enough area to satisfy any fluctuation in the amount of people that are bused in versus the amount of people that will need to park a single car occupancy.
All right.
Yeah.
John, could I just ask that when they have the official conditional use hearings for this, that you submit the industry standard reference material?
Absolutely.
As part of the package? That would be important.
Well, are we not going to have a hearing here too?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I said hearings.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I'm just making sure.
That's okay. I'm all the way back here.
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah, I'm sorry. Right. So, obviously, for this one, it's easier. Because you can at least, based on your representations, make that a condition that could abide by that standard.
Yes.
Which is what you are.
And certainly when we do the hearing, based on that, I'll have a board ready to demonstrate the parking if that becomes a topic of extensive conversation. So
it's better to be more prepared than us.
I think it's just going to be as simple as stating that the number of the shift people changes dramatically if you're willing to give space from the tractor parking, the trailer parking, just so that you'll be able to accommodate. Because it's going to be clear that we don't have the same situation that we have now in the front, right?
Well, that's ultimately what we've demonstrated all along, is that the development, certainly to the rear of the property, will alleviate the stress that's on the front of the property currently, I guess. Yeah. Any other questions about the traffic study or? One of the things, prior to the meeting, I spoke to Mr. Farley, is we do have the executed contract on the additional lots.
But they have the actual purchase price in it, and then on your right to know, everybody would get to know what they're paying for it. And I don't think that's really appropriate for them. So I've asked them to white it out and give it to you tomorrow. And then put it to sign.
I'm not concerned. As long as you're satisfied with an agreement that.
Yeah, I saw it and went through it, Kevin, but I just don't think that's fair to them until they actually close on it for the price to be on the deed. But so all I ask is you white it out, give it to Sean tomorrow, and then get a copy of it.
That goes in with the package for the conditional use.
So as it stands today, we have an executed contract to purchase the two additional lots, which are part of the lot consolidation plan, which factors into the whole site development, most certainly the lot coverage issue, which has been addressed in the past. So,
John got the most recent letters for confirmation.
Yeah.
Last I saw that you're still addressing Lou's. Last
letter, right? Yeah, I can talk through Lou's comments, but I was just addressing the things that came out of Mr. Shepstone's. So we talked about the traffic study, parking. So with this, at his recommendation to employ a landscape specialist so that the landscape architect could go through the ordinance and develop a landscaping plan that's consistent with the ordinance requirements. We've employed them. They sent us a plan just actually today, which I have mounted on the board here. It's quite extensive and very thorough. I'm going to, I have reduced copies here. I will certainly send all the electronic copies around.
This is obsolete then already?
Those are renderings that are representative of,
thank you.
That's representative of the whole development.
So what we asked the landscape architect to do is, number one, to use your ordinance as a basis to design landscaping for the site, which he did, and then he certainly has come up with an extensive planting schedule that provides screening, you know, not only to the front of the property, which is closest to Route 6 and 209 or the front, but also to the rear along the berm that, you know, we've always represented, you know, around the parking in the rear, because I know that that was always a concern, was screening both in the front of the property, but as well as into the back of the property. And I'm happy to go through, you know, all that they have, but, you know, I'm certainly, you can send it to Mr. Shepstone again. I just received it today, but send it to him for, you know, for referral about the...
John, just one quick, do you need a waiver then at this point? Or it says the document address?
I don't think we need a waiver now. We asked the landscape architect to follow the ordinance specifically. That way, no waiver would be required. I know that's one of Kylie's comments.
John, on Pocono Drive side, the other plan, you were leaving some of the trees that were there?
Well, certainly, it's, you know, some of the...
Ones that are staying, that are still going to be there?
Yeah. I mean, what he's represented on this plan is, you know, the berm that we've talked about to the rear of what would ultimately be some of the trailer storage. So there would be a berm and plantings along the berm, but any vegetation that's, you know, within 20, 30 feet of the road that's not outside of our impact will stay, yes.
Yeah, the berm in the back, how high is that berm going to be for the parking lot? That's going to be even with the old back road?
Ultimately, yeah, that's what we wanted to accomplish, was keep it at the same elevation as the back road, provide vegetation above that, which would certainly, all of that in totality will be higher than even the trailers that will be parked in the rear.
Okay, but the parking lot's not getting raised.
No, we're not raising the parking lot. No.
So I see there's a big, there's quite a bit of vegetation or plantings that are going to be between the internal driveway and the parking lot, and there's some on the next to the pond, but there's not really a lot along Pocono Drive. These are internal of the property, or part of the landscape, the reason for the landscape screening is to mitigate the impact from the outside, not the inside.
Excuse me for a minute, Kevin. Johanna, Pat texts me. He wanted to know if you could send him the link again, because he can't get on.
Patrick?
Yeah, Patrick.
He is there, I see him.
Is he on?
Yeah.
Patrick, you on?
Well, he doesn't have the...
I see his name.
Yeah, I see he's there, but he's saying he can't link up for some reason. Hey, you have the mute on?
Discuss that with the, I mean, I'm certain that's not an issue to add an additional tree.
Can you hear us?
Right, but it just made you, you know, if you were spending the money and using it, it makes more sense on Pocono Drive.
All right, no problem.
In the interior of the property.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, he's on now.
And Jen, Jen pointed out in the
John.
They're going down.
Yeah.
tree planting calculations, third paragraph?
Yeah, no, I'm just looking at it. It's according to the perimeter of the lot, 160 are required, 120 are provided. You know, that does not include any existing trees that we're going to leave within the right of way.
There's 220 trees.
Yeah, so we have 220 trees.
And you're also not doing this yet.
So I'll do that, yes. So I think once we add in this here, we won't need the waiver yet.
Well, you may want to eliminate the overage over. You may want to show what actually is there that's going to be left.
Yeah.
However you want to handle that, I just...
Yeah, that's what I was talking about before, because that was on the original plan.
Yeah.
Yeah, the trees along the building side and the driveway, we've not seen that before. So the berm going up into where the trailers will be now has nothing.
So, yeah, I'll ask them to, and I think you're referring to this area here.
Yes, I am.
Yeah, I mean, there's really no value to the township, and certainly I'm not sure there's a lot of value. I'll consult with the architect.
Exactly.
He's a landscape architect.
Well, and he has reasoning with the way he read the...
He has reasoning too, so I'll consult with him.
Because you have commercial property on the opposite side of Pocono Drive, there may have been an interpretation there.
I think that may very well be the case with him. I mean, we asked him specifically to follow the ordinance.
Right.
But I think to eliminate this patch and add it over here, I think is a good trade-off. But I think based on, we're so close that I would rather not ask for a waiver. It's just...
It's
a different set of...
There's enough trees, I'm sure you can put it somewhere. Be easier than the waiver.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this landscape person is well aware of the animal population in this area? And Mr. Shepstone did bring out the point that, you know, they eat everything in the wintertime. I hate for you to spend a lot of money.
Well, if you look at the tree types, yeah, I mean, I know, and again, this gentleman...
As long as they were told, and I just don't, you know...
Yeah, I mean, I think this individual's local.
Yeah, he's from Huntsville.
Yeah, he's local, so he knows the area very well. And he also, was one of three, eight firms that Mr. Shepstone referred.
Oh,
so,
okay.
So, you know, I think he's well-versed in the local environment, so.
And I think the important item with the trees, especially, is more the caliber than the height.
Yes, which...
And I don't see that mentioned on the book. That's something that speaks more to hardiness than the rest of it, so.
Yeah, and there's obviously, depending on the tree type, the height of the tree that is directly tied to the caliber.
Right, and that's why I said it's a good indicator. I don't...
Yeah, I mean, he sent me a summary email, which is more of a summary email. It's not really in a format. I'm happy to transmit that into a narrative to share with you. But he spoke about exactly going through the ordinance and how he followed the township's ordinance to make sure that the plan was compliant.
Right.
Okay. But I think relative, because we have had, I'll be happy speaking, we, meaning myself and the board, has had a discussion about the screening along these two areas. And so I think it's, honestly, I don't know if there's much value here.
That's my first impression.
You know, and so we take this tree line and bring it over here.
Yeah.
I mean, it'll look pretty, but I'm not sure it's necessary.
Well, that creates more of a maintenance issue too, with right on the driveway.
But. Yeah. So yeah, I think we'll take some of those trees and
same number of plantings there in this other cluster up the Pocono Drive, maybe it's more sense. But I have a feeling that because you've got commercial on the other side, that's why that may be eliminated.
Mm-hmm. Any other thoughts about the landscaping?
Did Rachel get a copy of this?
No, not yet.
Yeah, I'll get more additional copies down here, and I will also email everything in a PDF format. And certainly for the conditional use hearing, I'll have everything. One of the other things is, as we talked about at the last meeting, was to provide additional vantage point or rendering directly across the street on 6 and 209. So we had an idea of just the proportion of the height of the buildings relative to that back parking area. And so what we did is we sent our grading plan and development plan to a rendering specialist to do that, so that we could demonstrate that what the height would look. Now, this is a perspective, obviously, it's a rendering. But I think the point is that it clearly shows that, number one, the proposed building is not larger than the existing building. And that's by design, because the roof line of the new building in the back, and as I've represented all along, and you can see from the grading plan, that building will be built into the slope. Mm-hmm. And so the roof line from the existing building will slope down to that, the roof line of the new proposed building, and everything will drain to the rear. So clearly the proposed building with its new loading docks here will not exceed in height the existing structure that's there. Likewise, the parking area or the rear is slightly below that parking, or that parking and lot area behind the building is going to be lower than the height of the building to the rear. So I wanted to, I know this was one of your questions, to kind of give you a perspective of what this looks like. Which I think is,
I have it.
Yeah, this is just a bigger one.
Sure.
Now he's saying we're old and we can't see the small ones.
I'll admit to that.
That's why I don't go anywhere without my reading glasses. So. One of the things I wanted to just point out, which I know has been a consideration, is that the parking area in the rear of the building, certainly as I've represented in this rendering, shows that the new building is not higher than the existing building, and that the parking area will be about 6 feet lower than that of that new building at its rear eave. But all in total, that whole back parking area is lower than the old Milford Road to the rear of the site as it is. So the road will actually be higher. And with that, the vegetation that we proposed, all that would be screened. If a passerby even drove down the road with the amount of vegetation and looked over, they would be looking down on it. It's not like this massive building to the rear. So I think that's the thing that needs to be understood about the development. So I don't know if any questions.
Can the public ask questions?
Yeah. Go ahead, Fred.
So thank you for being here tonight and giving the presentation. I'm glad to see some Econopac management team here. I had some technical difficulties, so I missed some of your initial presentation, but what I heard was that based on a traffic study currently, there are 53 trucks entering and about 65 leaving per day?
Yeah, during peak, no, that's at peak time, yeah.
Peak yes. time, okay. So is that every day peak time or?
Well, traffic studies are based on averages, so.
Okay, so that's the average?
That would be at the averages, yeah.
Okay, so given that you've put together this business plan of approximately $2 million and 125,000 square foot of expansion, 182 stalls for trailers, what would be the expected average entering and leaving once this is completed?
I'm sure I don't understand the, nature of this question.
Well, I mean, okay, let me address this to Econopac management.
What was the $2 million?
I'm sure you've done a business, Mr. Farley, please. Is this a business, Mr. Farley, is this a legal issue? Is this a legal issue? Why are you talking? Why are you answering for Econopac?
I'm not answering for anybody.
No, I don't want you to answer. You're not, I don't want you to answer. Don't want you to answer. Are you the township solicitor or the Econopac solicitor? Thank you. Thank you.
The township, sir, but the answer you're asking for, I think, is in the study that was performed.
I don't want you.
I withdraw my comments. Go ahead.
No, I do not want you to answer. Thank you.
Fine.
Okay, Econopac management. What would be, you've done the business study. It's a $2 million project. What do you need in an increase on a daily basis for entry and leaving your facility to get your return on investment and make a profit?
So, where did you get the $2 million figure from? It's not $2
million. I did a right to know. I saw your plans that said $2 million.
The application to the township says $2 million is the project cost. That's where he's getting $2 million from.
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously I'm not sure if you know, but we rent a warehouse in Port Jervis. So we have to go drive trucks up and down, as John had stated, back and forth to Port Jervis all day long. So obviously by building this new building, we can have it attached to our building. We actually don't have to send trucks up and down the road all day long, back and forth. We don't have to have people up in a separate warehouse. So part of our plan is to have everything consolidated into one facility, which helps streamline processes and having our inventories close to us.
So, I'm sorry, but was there a number in there somewhere as far as the additional number of trucks entering and leaving?
It's about the same when you take out our trucks going up and down all the time. We have our own trucks that we own that go up and down, up and down, up and down. So now you're going to eliminate all that, and then, our business growing. On average, it'll be about the same because our space up there is rather large.
Okay, so what is that number a day? That's what Mr. Weber does.
How many trucks?
It's the number that's on the paper.
Every day is different, right? Every day. Some days are busier than others.
It's the number that's on the paper. 50 to 60.
Does that include trucks?
You're here on time. Okay. We went over it.
That's what I tried to do 5 minutes ago.
No.
Well, I mean, currently what the study shows is that the total trips per day that the site generates on average is 524, okay? During peak hour, which is what we were asked to focus on, that window in the afternoon when they change shifts and traffic is extensive, there's 53 entering and 65 exiting during that peak hour. But the total average over the entire site for a 24-hour period is 524 trips per day, which is why it's classified as a low volume.
And that's cars and trucks.
That's everything.
Yeah,
that's
cars. And out of that, that was taken now while you're going to Port Jervis.
Yeah, it's actually being measured right now. Yes.
So
that's an existing condition. Yeah.
How many runs would you say you're making to Port Jervis?
We make 7 a day. So 14, 7 down, 7 back.
Yeah.
So you're eliminating those 14 runs by putting everything right here. But it's going to stay the same.
Yeah, and you're probably bringing another 15 trucks as our business grows.
Right.
It's not going to be day one. Right? It's going to take us time to grow the business, but you can't grow the business if you don't have the space.
Right.
So it all works together.
Is that what you were looking for, Fred?
Sort of. Let me just give you the background. I'm a Milford Borough resident, so you can imagine why I'm asking the question. I mean, it's your property. I'm glad to see you're expanding. That means business is doing well. That's excellent. You know, it's great for the township, great for everybody. My concern is obviously increased truck traffic coming through Milford Borough and our little historic downtown. That's the only reason I'm asking this question.
Yeah, I mean, have you heard of the processes and things we put into town or we put into place to eliminate trucks from coming into town? Our trucks.
Okay.
So we
great. Thank you.
You can, like, when you leave, we have signs at our facility. You have to make all trucks must turn left. So we have those up on our shipping managers here, on any of our shipping people's emails that go out. It says at the bottom what exit we'd like you to use to come into our facility.
Exit 53.
Which is exit 53.
Right.
So we ask you to come in a certain way. We ask you to leave a certain way. We also added all that information on the bill of ladings as well.
That's excellent. I that's about as much as you can do, and I truly appreciate that. So thank you for your answer.
Thank you.
And thank you that you finally got the answer.
Yep, thank you.
Are there any other public comments?
Any questions or concerns or public comment at this point?
I feel good about it.
Good. Well, can we make a motion to move forward to a conditional use?
Is John finished? Are you finished, John?
Yeah, I mean, the only other thing I was going to speak to tonight was just, you know, we were asked to send it back to the county and back to Kylie. They both sent letters back. I'm happy to speak to them. I think the county's pretty straightforward and most entirely centers around the lot consolidation, which is obviously something that runs, you know, it's a joint application that's running with our proposed land development plan. Their last one about a traffic study, obviously we've addressed that. There was an acreage discrepancy, but it's not really a discrepancy, it's just how they're reading the map, which I can point to them and clarify that. But all that just identifies the fact that in order for the project to go forward, we have to consolidate the three lots, the two that they're purchasing with the.
So the lot combination, you're gonna just show that when you do the conditional use, right?
Correct, yeah. And then Kylie, I mean, I actually spoke with Lou Koza. I mean, he obviously repeats a lot of the comments. Almost all of them are what we call procedural comments, things that are obviously expected with a land development plan. That's everything from our ENS, our stormwater, our PennDOT applications. They're almost all procedural. They did. You know, we sent them our CAD file, and they did validate that we are just under the 65% as I represented at the last meeting. And just to clarify, there was a period of time I was carrying about 44-45%. That's because I was not accounting for certain gravelled areas that I felt didn't meet the definition of the lot coverage requirement, but you know, Mr. Shepstone emphasized that it should include, you know, substantially any improvement whatsoever, regardless of whether it's a usable area or not. So based on that and, you know, all the number tweaking, you know, we demonstrated it was below 65% and Kylie validated that. So we are at actually 64.8%.
Dan, the two things, and I'm going to ask planning because I don't know how you do this. There's two issues raised by him: the improvement maintenance guarantee and developer's agreement. That was 28 and 29. Is that something we review and then send to Tony Magnani, or do we let the supervisor see that?
I think we should have it in place to send to the supervisor.
Then I would ask that you prepare a developer's agreement so I can look at it. Your council should do that. And an improvement maintenance agreement. Okay, it's number 28 and 29 of Lou Koza's requirements and recommendations.
Yes.
Okay. And they're repeats, right?
They're repeats, yeah. And there's also, I think there's a comment about the deed for the lot combo, at least to have it.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's representing
a proposed deed.
So, yeah, I mean, he's essentially representing what the county's representing, that the whole project is contingent upon consolidation of the lots, which, you know, obviously we know and we've represented. And we have a contract.
They won't be severed, that's just...
Right, that's what I said. I need the deeds, and then between the agreement and sale, we'll just take that out. And then we tie it together, because you're right. I mean, it's still the same premise. They both have to pretty much be married together to get to the project.
Correct.
Because you're going to take both through at the same time.
Right? Yeah, I mean, that's what we're doing. The idea is to go through with both of them as a joint.
And those all be submitted with the full package for the conditional use, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and the same thing we did about the razor for the trees.
Yes, we will fix that too.
When you send the developer's agreement, I'm going to have Tony Vangano look at it as well, okay?
Okay.
All right, because he's making the ultimate call on that. Same for the improvement maintenance guarantee. So I'd like to give it to him ahead of time, so when we get to the public hearing, Tony's not surprised with it, okay?
My only question with that, and I think I had raised this before, is there a standard agreement that the township uses? You know, I know some municipalities use a standard agreement.
Yeah, I don't know that. Nothing scanned. I've got a couple from Delaware, but I'd rather have you draft it first so I can look at it to keep the cost down for the township instead of me doing it.
Well, more than likely, I'll just ask their
attorney.
Their attorney to prepare it, yeah.
That's fine.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Then I'll look at it. Does he practice in Pennsylvania?
Oh, no.
Okay.
So, you know, one of the other, I don't know if, you know, some of these obviously are, all this is what I call procedural, but they obviously run with an application of this nature and ultimately approval. At what point do they need to be executed? I mean, are they executed prior to final map signing, or are they?
Well, it's got to be in place prior to the final approval, and then the guarantees for 18 months after the project.
That was my next question, yeah. was the guarantee as well. At what point does the guarantee have to be in place?
As it says under 28, according to the ordinance, the treasurer's getting it from 18-month duration prior to final approval. But it's got to be close. I mean, how long is the project going to take to build?
A year and a half.
There you go. Okay, so there's your answer. We should pretty much be, again, married to the timetable. Maybe we want to even go a little, maybe more than 18 months, given what you're saying. It's a large project, right?
Yeah. I think that's everybody's.
Take into consideration weather conditions.
Yeah.
So maybe if you agree, maybe we'll move it to 2-year guarantee. That's just if he doesn't perform, we come in, we step in, and you've given us the guarantee of the bond performance.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically a bond.
Yeah, it's a bond.
It's a bond, performance bond.
Yeah. They're always required.
Okay.
If the township is the one that would have to step in if your contractor's fault or you to fault. So it's not as if not left in a disaster, we step in.
Yeah. So you're just saying giving more time is...
Well, I just listened to your contractor. He's saying it's going to be at least 18 months, and no offense with weather and delay, so if we do a 2-year performance bond,
material shortages.
It's not, I don't think the price would be much different. It's based on the amount.
Yeah.
But you're really going to, I want to make sure the township.
Would you have 18 months coming in and asking for
a waiver? I don't see any issue with that.
Well, no, you wouldn't give a waiver. You'd have to get another bond. I mean, so then it's going to maybe cost you more, so it'd be better probably to do it once. Maybe cheaper. I know it's going to be cheaper than getting two bonds.
Yeah.
And it protects the.
Yeah, I mean, in this day and age, I think being conservative on the timeline is.
I would, given what I'm hearing, and, you know, and it protects the township, it actually protects you too. It'd be probably cheaper to do one.
Yeah.
But that's required, and then the developer's agreement. I don't think it's fair for me to draft your developer's agreement and have the township pay me for that.
No, well, we already have them basically drafted, so.
Well, yeah, you got to do that to the landscape maintenance program. You're gonna have Mr. Wood draft one up, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So we're gonna need that. So I need to look at that one too. And the reason I want to have Tony look at it, I don't want to look at it. I'm okay, but he wants changes, so it'd be cheaper again for the township if I have him look at it at the same time, because he makes the ultimate call, not me. Okay.
Okay.
All right, I mean, kind of save some money here. Now, when you mention the rest, because I've read through Kylie's comments and everything, and are most of these you have addressed? Any of these you say, Tom, I can't address, or to the board, we can't address, we can't meet?
No, we can meet all of these conditions. I mean, they all have to be met in order for the project to go forward.
I sort of agree with you, John, but I just want to make sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Given you an answer, I mean, I need to know, if there's something, no, I can't, and we call it a waiver or a variance, but I mean...
No.
I didn't see anything major either, but I gotta ask, I mean, you know.
No, there's, I don't believe there's anything in here that we can't meet, no.
Okay.
I mean, the one question I would have, just from experience, is the guarantee has to be a bond, it can be a letter of...
No, it can't be just their promise, no, it's gotta be...
No, I'm not suggesting that, but I mean, like, it's in lieu of bond, you know, like a bank...
Oh, letter of credit?
Credit, yeah, like a bank credit where they...
Yeah, but a letter of credit means they gotta put the money up with the bank.
Well, it depends on, you know...
My answer is, reading from this, it says a guarantee. If the township's willing to accept a letter of credit, but just so you know, that basically means there's money that the bank has now attached, that if they default, we have complete access to. Be careful what you ask for. The bond, well, it's not actual money, but it's a bond where the company hires another company to do the work, and they have, the bonding company has their assets guaranteed.
No, I understand how that works.
It's a business call which way you want to go. I just want to make sure either way you pick, I don't have to worry
about
getting the assets.
You need a guarantee, whatever.
Whichever way you want to do it.
Okay.
Because I've done both. I did a line of credit or a...
Letter of credit.
Letter of credit against a builder, and he lost a lot of money. And then I did that with him as representing the county for the jail, and I had performance bonds I had to deal on. So I dealt with both. It works, it's just which
way you see. I'm just making for a point of clarity, and I'll, you know, allow them to...
Well, let me know, but I'll be honest with you, I'm still going to defer to the supervisor's ultimate call, and I'll give Tony a call once you come. It's a performance bond, I don't think it's an issue. If you're going to do the letter of credit, I'd have to make sure, but as long as I know that the money's there. But literally, there's going to have to be something like $2 million, it's a $2 million project, as Mr. Webb. There's got to be $2 million somewhere that the bank has total control of until the project's done.
Well, I mean, the guarantee, I believe, is
125%?
It's 15%.
Well, I think you said...
No.
I think you're looking. I don't think that's right. That's the improvement here.
Oh, okay. No, but 125% is of the landscaping. So, I mean, the bottom line is... We'll figure out the best way.
That's the maintenance guarantee. No, there's the guarantee about performance of it, I think.
Well, that's number 28. The improvement guarantee is in the amount of 15% of, okay. All right.
The improvement guarantee.
We'll get all the numbers straight, and as long as it's...
It'll be improvement guarantee.
Because
there's one for the improvement guarantee. I mean, okay, number 18, a performance guarantee in the amount of 125% of the required landscaping. I think there's another one too, isn't there? If they want that for, it's not going to be in the developer's agreement? Maybe.
Okay.
There's got to be a guarantee to work for.
No, I don't disagree.
Yeah,
and I'm not arguing. Making sure that they understand the options that they have in order to provide that guarantee.
Between them and their business officers and their lawyer.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah. And in us, as long as I make sure it's accurate.
Okay.
That's got to all be, if we're going to do this twice, my experience is I always say we create the sausage here, it's ready, and then when you go to the supervisors, pretty much all your bugs are worked out, it should go pretty smoothly. But we've addressed all the concerns. So I would ask, if that's what you want to do, that you're prepared for, just like it's going to be the hearing, because then the public hearing will go much smoother, from my experience. I don't know if anybody disagrees with that or wants it different.
No, that's generally how we've done them in the past.
Generally, that's what the supervisors expect from us to do most of the footwork.
Right, and that's what my other two townships would do, so I assume that's what they want. So I'd like you to, you know, when you mentioned before about the parking thing, yeah, I would like that, because I think either with us or with the public, either one would be helpful to have.
No, agree, yeah. I mean, we, as I've represented, you know, you're talking about the industry standard that we're using because the ordinance lacks, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll give you the publication. It might be 500 pages, but.
Yeah, but.
The appropriate source, I got.
The purpose is to have it and give the public to understand what's going on. And I just think if you do it here, and then you're in the public, you'll just go through it for the final decision.
Any more questions or comments?
We asked about addressing what improvements are going to be done to the existing building from the vantage point of 6 and 209.
You're talking about the facade?
Yeah.
We talked about that, PJ.
Yeah, so again, I mean, just so you know, when we took over the building, it was empty. It was, you know, completely, you know, there was nothing going on in the building. There was leaks in the roof. There was tons of paneling missing on the sides. So when we moved into the building, I think today we put over $3 million into it. You know, we fixed the roof, we fixed the floors, we put $800,000 worth of air conditioning in.
Mr. Rebo, with all due respect,
we put in a lot of money in the building.
I understand.
You know, so we put in all new curbing in the front of the building. We fixed all the landscaping in the front and on the sides. We put stone in and around the whole building. We fixed all the entranceways coming into the building. And then in regards to, you know, what else you'd like fixed, I mean, there's some bumpers that you'd like taken off on docks we don't use. We can certainly do that. But we fixed all the paneling going down. There's no missing paneling. There's no missing, you know, gutters or there's no gutters where the water comes down. We've gone ahead and fixed, you know, all that. We put a tremendous amount of money into this building to get it to where, you know, our employees and customers and hopefully the public, you know, like it. So again, we've put together a couple $100,000 worth of landscaping plans that you just reviewed. You know, we've been doing everything we can to, you know, make it a good building. We came into a building that was not in great shape. I just want to make sure that's clear because we put a lot of money and time into getting it to where it is now, and we're continuing to invest in the building. So, I mean, I think our previous actions and our current and our future actions are to continue to make it, you know, a nice building.
I also just chime in and say we have the strictest because conditions there because we're ISO 9000. We've got the FDA in there. Every client sends in a quality check as far as making sure the building is, you know, bug-free, clean-free. The essence of the cleanliness and quality of the building is above practically a medical standard. I mean, there's no question about it that the building is inspected on a regular basis, both inside and out. So it's not just a matter of, you know, slapping a coat of paint and some lipstick on there. It's was absolutely stringently put together and would be shut down if we did not meet the standards of our clients or the federal government.
Yes, we have we're SQF level 3 certified. So we're the highest level of food safety certification that you can have. And we've maintained that certification for all 8 years we've been in the building. You know, and when they do their audits, they're here for a week. They tour the entire inside and outside of the building. So again, we've taken the building, you know, very far. I don't know if you've been in the inside recently, but it's been a lot of work that we've put into it. So again, if there are other comments you have, you know, we're open to them. But we are working diligently all the time on the building. I mean, we just had room 1, 2, 3, and 0, all the roofs already done in the last 3 months. All new roofs put on. So again, it's constant for us. I don't know if there's anything else in particular that you want to discuss.
Well, there isn't anything in particular I was looking for. It's just what do you anticipate to do is the question.
Yeah, just continue to maintain and make it, you know, a great place. And in our business, you know, before we get any new business, they send their auditing team in to audit our processes, our building, our equipment, our people, our training, all that kind of stuff. So, you know, we always have to constantly reinvest in our, in
in our building, in our processes, in our equipment, in our people to make sure that we are at a very high level. Otherwise, we're not going to win that business. So it's very important to us to always be on top of that. Our business is a really good example. Like, if you don't reinvest in your business, you're going to, you know, your business won't grow. And our type of business is a perfect example of that. Because like, most of our clients are, you know, in the, say, 10 to 130 billion in revenue a year. So it's a very high standard that they come with.
You good?
Excuse me?
You good? You got more?
Nope, I'm good. The only thing that I would suggest is that we get a lot of these things, and I don't know how much John's going to have to be prepared for the end of the month, but I want to remind everybody that that's going to be, this week would be our regular meeting, and I don't know if that's a fair week for the public to participate in the conditional use hearing, but that's up to the rest of the board. I just want everybody to realize the timing. And I don't know whether Mr. Fuller would have everything ready for that at that point in time.
Yeah, I think I'll have it ready. I'm determined to get it ready. Is it possible to do a special meeting if the holiday week is, you know, sometimes boards can arrange a special meeting.
You can arrange a special meeting, but it's still about the public notice as far as I'm concerned.
So, yeah, I mean,
you know, when you do a special meeting, then that's something out of the normal public notice, so it's almost better to have it. So I'm just bringing that up for the board so that we all...
Christmas Friday or something?
I didn't work.
Christmas is Saturday.
Saturday.
Christmas is Saturday.
It falls between, our meeting would fall between Christmas and New Year's.
Well, like this year?
Yep.
It's going to fall between
Christmas and New Year's. That's what I say.
I'm not going to be
That's what I would say. A lot of people go away.
I'm going to be away. I'm going to be away. I think I'm getting divorced over this. I'm going to Mexico, so I'm not pulling that one. Sorry, Jen, I didn't realize. I assumed it was...
Well, that's why I'm bringing it up.
Yeah, I'm glad you did, because
this is what happens.
So my request is, I don't know what to tell you, I can't be there.
Well, that's why I'm asking, is it possible to schedule a special meeting, you know, for the condition of this?
And to be honest with you, between Christmas and New Year's, it's probably the worst time to have your hearing.
Yeah.
That's the normal time.
I know, but I'm being honest. I mean, for the public, that's probably the worst time.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm asking. Can we do an alternative date versus, you know, another 2 months out?
I'll defer to the board. I'm only off between the 27th and the 22nd.
So the next regular meeting would be the 18th of January?
No, they do the 4th.
The 4th Tuesday.
It's the 4th Tuesday. That's the problem.
It's 25.
That's why I want to bring it up before it gets to be... Let's talk about it now before it gets to be a big issue.
Could we do...
Bet you did.
The workshop as a meeting? And if we announced it for the 11th of January?
Well, you do it on the Thursday, right?
Yeah. Oh, wait, I got somebody on 13th. Sorry, good thing you got that.
You just changed it, like.
Yeah, I know.
So that would be what?
That would be January 13th.
And when's the next supervisor's meeting?
It's really Monday. What would that be?
Probably not. Well, no, probably not, because it's probably Martin Luther King holiday, so it's probably Tuesday.
It would be the 18th. Tuesday the 18th.
That's not enough time for two hearings back to back.
No, but that would be when we would probably set a hearing date, because we would just be getting your recommendation at that point in time. So it would probably be the first.
We'd have to do our reorganization meeting at the same time if we're going to publish that.
Get the workshop.
Because that would be before our normal reorganization meeting.
Yeah.
So we'd have to
do it then. But that's, you could do this. Then we at least do two things a week.
I'm not opposed to it, that's why I just want to make sure.
I'm glad you did.
We'll get in this panic in the middle of next month, and it just isn't going to work for anybody, I don't think.
I mean, I don't disagree that the week between Christmas and New Year's is not a good week.
I can't change it.
But if we, and might be a good week to get a controversial project. I get it. So, I mean, yeah, if we could do the 13th of January, that would be great.
Well, it could definitely be sometime in February then, right? You'd have your...
Yeah, we would probably schedule it for the first or the second meeting of February.
Right, and from a practical standpoint, you can't break ground in March or April, right? I'm looking at you.
Oh, yeah, I can.
You can?
Sure. I mean, we're just going to be busting, we're going to be hogging out dirt, getting ready for putting the foundation. I can certainly do it, but that doesn't, it all depends upon the schedule. Yeah. I mean, the best time would be the beginning of March.
That's what I'm saying.
You know, or the end of March, you get rid of the rain.
End of March.
Yeah, that's what I would know from business.
And then it's running and gunning, you know what I mean? So
then it works for you, it works for us. Mm-hmm. You can do that, right?
Okay.
13th is good.
Pardon?
13th is good.
13th is good. Yeah. Well, you guys are nice enough to move it to a Thursday. That's not any meetings other than yours.
Patrick, 13th good for January for a hearing?
Thanks for raising that.
Yes, it's fine, Danny, with me. Uh-huh. I had to take it off of mute. I'm sorry.
All right. How about you, Rick?
I don't see why that would be a big deal.
Okay.
I'd like to make a motion that we advertise that we will have the Planning Commission's reorganization meeting and the conditional use hearing for the Econopac. Is that the way you want it, for the Econopac?
Are we going to do the lot improvement at the same time?
And you're going to end the lot. Consolidation lot improvement for Econopac. On Thursday, the 13th of January, is that the right
date? That's correct.
And we can be both recommended if there's no issues.
I'll second it.
7 o'clock.
Patrick seconded?
Yes.
Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And get an aye out of you guys.
Aye.
No answer is considered in the affirmative.
Yeah.
Right.
Any objections?
So,
any abstains?
No.
Well, then we just would ask Mr. Fuller the next couple meetings, whatever you have, please come so we can.
Yep, I'll come in.
Then let's make the 13th as smooth as we can, right?
I'm gonna package it all together so it's comprehensive and spelled out all the things that we've discussed for the last.
It'd be nice to see the landscaping again before.
Yep, I'll get that edited prior to then. You're going to do a workshop in December, right? All right, I'll bring an updated map in the workshop.
Workshop, and we'll do a regular meeting too. Right? We don't have any reason not to. I might get these other maps and stuff done.
Yeah, we get some of the other stuff done. We never get the one.
That's the one you're picking between Christmas.
Yeah, but that's the donor map and that stuff that we're
going to
do. At least we get the work done. We don't have to make a motion on another meeting or whatever.
No, that's fine. That's fine. Okay. But that's pretty much ready anyway.
Yeah, the whole thing. We might even have that done.
All right. Very good. Thank you.
Thank you. Can't just say thank you, Jennifer.
Thank you.
All right, I'm going to say table the zoning map for our next meeting because I don't have
them back from the planning yet, and the planning. And I guess there was a suggestion to get an overlay on the...
There was a motion.
Oh.
At the supervisors' meeting to ask the county planning GIS mapping office for assistance with the overlay map for the...
Watershed
wellhead ordinance that's being proposed.
Okay.
And I haven't heard from Mr. Shepstone about that yet, so I got the impression that Mr. Magnata was going to speak to him and then he would call me, or should I poke the bear?
Poking the bear wouldn't be a bad thing.
Okay, I'll do that.
In this particular case.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, John.
Good to yourself.
Yep. We'll see you in December, yeah?
Thank you.
Yes, we agreed we really couldn't move forward without the map.
No, I don't know what's taking longer this time. I know I called them and told them to take the other thing off.
Well, no, the watershed, Rachel's specifically talking about the watershed ordinance map.
Right. Yeah, but I didn't even get the zoning map back with the changes on it.
Right, okay.
What are you waiting for from...
The watershed map. He and Mr. Magnata were supposed to talk, so I'll just call Tom and get them to talk.
All right, so they're going to give us something to give to the county to put on here, or?
I think there might be some confusion about that.
I'm sorry, basically what they want to do is be able to delineate properties. Mm-hmm. So however he wants to work that out, we'll let him do that. With the, I think that's going to need to go to Patty, to the GIS, the taxing maps, and then overlay it with the county, however they do that.
Well, can we... Can we adopt the zoning map without the watershed overlay and then do the overlay later?
Yeah, we can do that. Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Currently, the other one does not officially exist.
Yep.
It's not been adopted, so.
Okay, so we'll table that till our next meeting. If I have it by the workshop, I'll bring it in so we can all just go over it and make sure it's copacetic. All right, emergency management plan. I know I haven't had a chance to do anything with it. Other than what I started, I got it at.
And I think with the Pike County hazard mitigation, I think we gleaned some information from there. Better be able to foresee what might be.
Yeah, because they had a lot of good contacts in it.
What might be happening.
So, add up at the workshop. Sewer project.
If you see the new letter.
Yeah.
I don't know whether, I know that this is a concern to Mr. Weber. And Rachel, did you see the new letter from HRG?
Mm-hmm.
I know that we're not the supervisors and you don't have any police in this, but for HRG to take this sort of tack with DEP, I think is quite foolish.
I have to agree.
What is their tack?
They're
pushing for the team to pull.
They're basically, Mr. Weber, trying to catch DEP, you were supposed to have it done in 121 days, you're 141, we got you.
Did Patrick and Ray see the letter?
No, I have not.
Yes.
HRG would like to clarify and provide more information regarding the letter from Pennsylvania Department of Environmental Protection dated the 20th of October. DEP did not reject the plan that was received on June 1. It was done in several pieces. They considered it to be administratively incomplete after 141 days, which is also beyond the 120-day review period for technical review of the plan according to PA state code. Considering the above, HRG would like to meet with Representative each municipality to discuss how the municipalities would like to move forward and to discuss the comments in more detail. They basically want to claim deemed approval. But two reasons I think it's really foolish is there's to pick a fight with DEP over what your plan is going to be, it is kind of silly because we're going to need them when we go through with this and we get this done eventually anyway. So why have them that way? And any professional that doesn't get it right, really, in my opinion, is obligated to get it right.
I'm not arguing that, but the way they want to do it, the townships and Milford and everyone's going to suffer because DEP pointed out errors that should be corrected to benefit all the residents. This company wants us to say, no, we're not going to make those corrections. You're stuck with our original plan.
This is clear to me that HRG is not willing to perform.
I see it a little tiny bit differently than that, Tom. I see HRG recognizing that the issue is that all of the municipalities agreed to do this because they didn't have to pay for it. And that money is spent now. All of the county money that went into writing what was submitted is spent and gone.
Yeah.
So now to move forward with correcting it, the issue is who is going to pay for it? And I think HRG is saying, hey, it's not on us to change anything because you guys could just push this issue that it's deemed approved. Right. And the municipalities are then left with, do we come up with the money to pay for the changes? Do we sue HRG or do we sue DEP for deemed approval and suffer the backlash that will impact every project that comes through any of these municipalities in the interim? And I think HRG is taking the approach of, hey, this is not our problem. I guess we would see more when we heard their specific comments, but I think the issue is we're not going to take on the responsibility of the changes that they should have mentioned a lot earlier.
Doesn't matter. If the deficiencies in their plan, then it should be on them to correct the deficiencies because that's what they were hired to do to begin with.
Well,
I'd like to see the contract because is it based on hours or is it based on final performance of an accepted plan? So if it's
can I make a comment?
Final performance of an accepted plan, then they have to correct it.
Hang on,
if we only did by hours, then maybe not a great contract.
First of all, in the borough meeting, which I was at, they specifically said they talked to HRG and HRG wants to push forward with the deemed approval.
Dealing
with NPDES permits and highway occupancy permits, the way I deal with them, most of the time limits were waived because of COVID.
Could I make a quick comment?
Go ahead.
So I asked the question about the 120 days, and what I was told was, and this was not by the DEP legal person, but the 120 days is really meant for smaller projects, like a house or a one retail outlet, not an extensive Act 537. The other thing I was told was that basically HRG did not follow the process. The process is when you embark on an Act 537, you set up an appointment with the DEP, they sit down with you, and you go through their quote unquote blue book, which shows you exactly what needs to be in the Act 537, so you don't end up with this administratively lacking disaster. I mean, they did not even get to the technical review. Okay, because of the administrative bungle here, they didn't even get to the technical review. So that's yet to come. And, you know, I think I heard a couple of comments. You want to piss off the DEP? Good luck.
Yep. Now, the other issue I had with all this, and the letter from the HRG, where they say they're representing Milford Township.
But one other thing.
Did we ever give them permission to represent us?
We actually did not know about HRG's communication regarding the deemed approval until after it was already sent.
Mr. Weber has something.
Yes.
So one other thing is, I had asked the borough, the borough's take on this was, by the council president, he read, well, this really isn't too bad. There aren't too many things in here about what the borough needs to address. And to me, that's like losing a football game 62-3, but the borough kicked the field goal. I mean, it's a disaster. Right?
He's talking about direct points at the borough, but the overall draft is still bad.
Yeah, but he never stated that. But that's all right. It doesn't matter. We don't have to go into that.
No.
I think all that we can do is reiterate to the supervisors, and this is only my opinion, that this is HRG's way of not wanting to make right on their contract. This is pure and simply about money. This is pure and simply about getting paid to fix what they already did. Mm-hmm. It's quite clear. The deemed approval, and I'm not a barrister, so I don't know, but deemed approval in this instance is to protect individuals, not municipalities.
I can't imagine using deemed approval for a project of this size.
You know, now, if it were me or a Econopath or a single individual, I think that's where deemed approval was the intent, that the government can't just string you along forever. As an individual, so I am absolutely at this point in time with what they're presenting here, absolutely opposed to one representative from our township.
Yes.
Having
thank you.
Say at a what they're calling a stakeholders meeting. There is no way that one person should make the judgment call on the amount of money that they're going to be asked for.
My concern as a...
Hang on, it takes two for a vote, right?
Right, but you have a...
Stakeholder group, Tom, was only ever one municipality from the township, although I understand that Matamoros Borough, for example, had multiple people sometimes attending, so did Milford Borough sometimes have multiple people, but less than a quorum of their agency. Yeah,
but you can even have a quorum as long as you say it's an informational meeting.
Right.
That's allowed. Right.
And then anything to get approved has to come back to the full board. But to hear the information, I think that Kevin is right. Just to make sure that we're getting all of the information, we should have it available to all the public officials informational.
As I understand the agreement that was put together, if you read the fine print, the commissioners reserved the right to act in your stead.
They did.
And you need this, we need to really be careful now.
So the one thing that was concerning to me is that if you only, like Kevin said, if you only have one representative or two representatives, you don't have a quorum from the four municipalities, it won't be open to the public. And that's my concern, because I think the public are stakeholders as well.
Mr. Weber, you could do an informational meeting with the public being present. Actually,
oh, good.
You could call a meeting. An informational meeting means you have a quorum, but mm-hmm. you're not there to vote, you're just to hear information. Public can be allowed unless it's one of the five executive session reasons. But you still
okay, great. Thank you.
Such as potential litigation.
Well, yeah.
And then again, unless you're the zoning sewage officer, because then you're not invited.
Well, as far as
but yeah, they could argue potentially. But isn't this? But in fairness, on this one, they're going to be the one presenting the information, right?
Well, I think we need, we collectively need to hear what they have to say, but I think we also need to have side conversations that they are not engaged in, and I think we're going to have them among a larger group than just one or two, you know, representatives, because the ability to communicate exactly what was told to you back to the larger group, and or to make sure that you have representation present. We had a number of these stakeholder meetings where, because the meetings were held at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, there was no representation from Milford Township present. And the project just continued to move forward without the feedback necessarily coming, you know, from this area of the community.
But HRG's stance of with Milford Township all along has been at best argumentative.
I would agree.
And DEP put them in their place. I mean, they said that we took a no action course, and DEP said that can't be interpreted that way. There's the, you know, so there's a lack of communication or misunderstanding or something, and I don't want to, but the handwriting's on the wall. This is about money. They're coming back to the well.
Well, the only way they're going to fix it is if they're going to get paid or they're going to get sued and forced. So that's the issue, is how does that get addressed? In either way, the township loses because it's going to cost us money.
HRG is the authority's engineering firm, is that correct?
The Westfall Sewer Authority's engineering firm.
That's correct.
And the Westfall Sewer Authority is the contractor,
right,
for this, for the agreement between HRG and the Sewer Authority to write this plan.
They're the regular engineering firm. They're not just hired to do this. So
correct.
And I tell you what, I got no problem saying in one of the meetings, the representatives from the states for the USDA and PennVest suggested that we have another engineering company get involved in this.
So,
That got quiet.
Yeah, what?
That made it quiet.
It's just obvious that this is about them coming back to the well.
That's what it's about for them. But as far as what I'm reading with the DEP, it was all procedural. I mean, they even put in there that they didn't answer our comments.
Yeah.
You know?
I took the comments from this board and reproduced them and hand carried them to the borough when the borough had their public session. I hand carried them to them, and the answer that I got back from DEP, from HRG and from the borough, was they do not have to answer that. They only have to make them part of it.
I think the approach to the entire project was compartmentalized, and the DEP letter makes it very clear that that was not acceptable to them. And I think that fundamentally the DEP was looking for a full plan. And so many of the comments reflected missing pieces, things like who's going to be in charge of setting rates, who's going to be in charge of determining tapping fees. And the fact that those underlying agreements were not completed at the time that this was submitted was part of their comments. And they said, how can you come up with what the costs are going to be if you're talking about, you know, not moving forward for 7 or 8 years possibly? So there was a lot of the comments that were kind of echoed in DEP's response to say this is not ready, this is not finalized. And some of those things are things that the municipalities didn't address sooner, I think because they knew that there was going to be some less than harmonious conversations required to get there. And so DEP saying, hey, if you're not there, if you don't have this stuff done, then you're not ready for this. Come back when you're ready and give us everything that's required to have an actual plan, including DRBC's review, which they specifically mentioned in the letter.
Well, and I think we need to get it clear from the whole community who's on what page. the Economic Development Authority has drafted a letter to Representative Cartwright asking for $14.5 million to be set aside for the expansion of the sewer line from where it is at the high school to the Melford Borough line.
Interesting.
To the Melford Borough line?
Yep. That's what the EDA was going to draft the letter for. It's clearly in their minutes.
Because there are no users that are being forced from the township line?
Huh?
Because there are no users from the township line to the borough line that are going to be forced to hook on to pay for the cost?
I have no idea what precipitated the letter or what did that, but I do know what was in the minutes of the economic development.
I don't know the answer to that.
I found that very curious. So we have this going on, yes, we have our paid representatives asking the
money.
Right.
Well, I'm not.
Our federal representative.
I'm not surprised that they're asking for the money to be earmarked now while this once in a lifetime infrastructure bill is available. That doesn't surprise me.
Oh, it doesn't surprise me at all. It's pretty curious as to the way they're applying it. If they're claiming $16.5 million, they go to $4.5 million, and they're only going. What are they doing? So the borough must be making an ask too. We'll have to watch their minutes pretty close.
I would think. I mean, it's like Christmas in D.C.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Get a wish list.
But there's more than one thing happening at a time. Is my point.
I'm curious, who drafted that contract with HRG?
I think it was Tony Waldron, perhaps. Maybe it's HRG's standard contract. I'm not sure. I know it was Tony Waldron who drafted the intermunicipal agreement, was it not, that the municipality signed on to for the scenic rural character preservation money to be approved?
He's the one, yeah, Kevin Dray, he's the water authority.
Right, the sewer authority's solicitor. Yeah, the Westfall sewer authority solicitor.
Yeah.
But, you know, from the municipal perspective, Tom, though the municipalities were promised that this study would not cost us any money, the clause in the Scenic Rural Character Preservation Agreement said, if the study costs more than this amount of money, which I think was $140,000, that the county has allotted, the municipalities will kick in to pay their proportionate share. There was no formula determining what their proportionate share was or how that was going to be based, but it did say that. So from the municipal perspective, it's like, okay, now it needs to be fixed. The municipalities hadn't put any money in and hadn't budgeted or planned to put any money in to do this. And now we're...
Oh, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Don't.
Who said that, HRG?
Huh?
Who said that, HRG? Don't worry.
Tony Waldron sat here and said that.
Waldron, the commissioners, everybody that was involved from the upshot, because I was thinking about it from the beginning.
Well, I think you got to have a meeting with this company and then and get the commissioners, everybody, all the stakeholders, as you would say, and then you got to figure it out where you're going to go.
Yeah, one of the first things you do when you're going for central sewage like this is a letter of degradation to find out the proof of why it's needed. That was never even done before.
My concern is if that firm pushes that deemed approval, I don't know if I, as a client, want to use them the next time I need something at DDP. Because you're basically playing catch.
Yep.
You don't think they're going to remember that?
Oh, they're going to remember, but I
still
think they're
going to
fall
back. That you want to play deemed approval with. You're not benefiting anybody. You're not benefiting your own client because
deemed approval with a crappy plan.
Yeah, right. Well, that's not even functional.
Deemed approval with a crappy plan.
How can you support that as the client? I mean, I agree with Kevin, I need approval, but I had an engineer, I know the project's good, i.e. a Conopacker. Okay, nobody's getting hurt technically. That's a disaster to deem, declare deem approval. Are you really servicing your client by pushing that issue as an engineer?
And they didn't even get to the mechanicals of it.
Right, so I'm not too impressed with that position.
No.
Agreed.
I would never.
Well, I'm sure.
Personally, I would never. I would never push for a deemed approval at the DEP.
Tony said that there should be a meeting. Exactly what they're saying. There should be a meeting. You know, and the question becomes, who's going to pay for this? And that question hasn't had any even hint of an answer to it.
Mr. Magnata sent a correspondence and copied everyone about having a stakeholders meeting before he had an answer from HRG about what their position was, which I thought was inappropriate. HRG needed to say how they were going to address this and then have a stakeholders meeting.
Everybody's different, but what you'd want is what I want. I always listen to the opponent, figure out what they want to offer before I make any decision.
Yeah,
I always let them talk first.
Right.
Everybody's different, but yeah, I always like my opponent to talk first. Tell me what the hell you're thinking, then I can.
They're the guys that are getting paid, let's hear from them first.
Well, as you said, litigation, they're going to become an opponent, maybe. So I'd like to hear what my opponent's thinking before I get my hand.
Well, and who's going to pay for the litigation? Again, the townships,
Rachel, you know I'm wearing
the municipalities
hats,
loose.
So I'd have to look at that. And I don't even know if the county's going to want to do that. Am I really then same concept? Do I really want to fight with my engineer and then what? Make him? How happy is he going to be if he forced to?
What are you going to do then? Go back to starting over?
Huh?
What do you do? What's the alternative to that?
The only way that this is a win is if HRG mans up
and makes it good.
The right thing. The only way this is a win. And that's obviously not going to happen.
Well, I don't know about that. I don't know.
I agree with Tom. There's still room for them to.
And you got residents complaining.
They ought to be doing a lot of thinking because if they got any more projects with the DEP. Hello.
I just can't imagine doing that to the government. And then I agree. I think they've got arguments. COVID, I don't even know if he's really right about that.
But
a whole 537 plan means I have to come up with answers by 60 days, and it's a whole plan.
Deemed approval doesn't apply to this. This is a government document. This is akin to an ordinance, correct?
Kevin, I'm too old to think I know everything off the top of my head. I don't know. I have to do the research. I don't know everything. I don't know. It just doesn't make sense to me. That's my honest gut reaction. It makes no sense to me that you would do a deemed approval on that type of project. Is it even allowed? I don't know, because Mr. Webb, with COVID, there's been so many waivers about things had to be done. I'd have to go look at all the things that were passed, the ordinances, declarations, because how does that fit in? Mm-hmm. Then I'm with you. Really? I can't imagine that really being a deemed approval project. So, but I have to do the research under the code and the statutes to find the answer? I don't know.
Even with all this stuff, you got to remember, the state only got back in their buildings about a month ago.
Well, I don't even know if they're all back. Well, I'll tell you what, I know we've been trying to work with the Pennsylvania Department of Revenue on a couple of things. They're still
out. They're still out, yeah.
They're still out. Inheritance, the tax,
state. Even like PennDOT, they only got back in the office about a month ago.
The surge is worse now than it was a year ago.
That's what they said. They said more people are dying.
It's worse now.
So I don't know, did Tony, I mean, it's not fair to pay two lawyers, so did Tony do the research on that yet? Did you ask him to, or you, well, held on?
No, we said we're not going to do anything, we're going to go see what the other municipalities do, because we're not as invested in this project moving forward as they are.
No, that's a fair assessment.
That's where I didn't like that part about them representing us, because they make it sound like we're...
Like we approved a letter that went to them saying that we believe there's deemed approval, yeah. Which somehow the borough approved the day after our meeting. We have the same solicitor at our meeting and their meeting, and we knew nothing about that deemed approval letter being something that was going to be happening.
In fairness, Tony, did you make the meeting?
Our meeting? Yes.
No.
He had borough meeting, yes.
Borough, sometimes they don't want him at the borough meeting.
No, he was there. That was at the meeting.
Oh, okay.
It was before the agenda rule went into place, so.
Not a correspondence that HRC.
Close to it.
Before this board knew about.
Oh.
Very clear.
Okay.
Yes, for a meeting of the stakeholders before.
On behalf of us or behalf of?
On behalf of the, behalf of Milford Township, before he was asked. He wrote that letter and copied everyone. That's the same thing as sending.
So maybe this has been said already, and I'm sorry if I'm repeating things you've already discussed. But I mean, as far as the township being a stakeholder, it's quite clear from the 18-page review that HRG did not account for any hookups that might occur once those lines are in. So yes, you are a stakeholder.
We have been, we always have been, we've never taken a position that we weren't.
Right, right. And it was a big part of the 18-page review.
There are other players that, that considered us not part of the game, but that's not what we've, that's not the position we've taken at all.
Right. Okay. Good. Well, listen, two things. I wish all of you a very happy Thanksgiving. And I need, you know, being OCD, I need somebody to fix that clock on the back wall.
That's probably crazy, too.
Behind you.
I don't want to fix it. I was going to get out of here an hour early, Fred.
If I see that thing correctly, it's late.
Thank you, Fred, and same to you and your family.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Patrick and Ray, too. Thank you, guys.
Yep.
Good night, guys.
I received a new application from Holger with a netting plate, so I'm going. It will be in the next workshop's agenda, and I'm going to hand these to you before you leave.
An application for?
Lot improvement.
Oh, you gave me
that. Goes,
yes.
Did that go to Sean first?
Sean reviewed it.
Okay.
He asked me to distribute it.
Is he going to take, are they taking land from a neighbor, or what are they?
Yes, there is a kind of exchange. It's a little bit like Peter Shame's application, you know.
Moving a lot line?
Yeah, moving the lot line. So I'm going to hand that to you before you leave.
But we'll make the
and
next ones.
What happened with the other application? I meant to ask you. The one Sean didn't look at. Did he ever look at that other one?
Sean.
I can't remember.
Not up the street, the one on Hartford Street? The one on Hartford Street?
No, let me take a look.
Albany's?
No, she never came back in.
No.
He said he received the, let me see.
Going back to Culver New Year?
Yeah, kind of up to St. Lucas. We used to go every year. Last year we didn't go. But it's called Cast Americana, and I have a timeshare there. So I go with, we used to take the kids. Now they're so old, they don't go. So my sister and her husband are coming this year, four days this year. But my wife's looking
For Lori and Dodgers.
I'm missing that one.
No.
That one, yes, it's that one. That's the lawyer. That's what is the lawyer for them.
Oh, okay.
Lara and Dodsworth.
Lara and Dodsworth, yeah. Okay.
She handed these to me.
All right, so Sean looked at them now.
Yes.
Okay.
Survey though, right? Somebody surveyed?
Yes. Deeds. She supplied the deeds.
Yeah, they did the survey. Yes. Okay. No, that's okay. Okay. Hey, Truly, have you ever been out, Camel? Oh, he's beautiful. It's really icy.
All right, that's it, I think, right?
Food is great.
Any other public comment? Hearing none? I have a motion to adjourn.
I make a motion that we adjourn this meeting.
Second?
I'll second.
Okay. All